Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for the dawn of redeeming grace. What a beautiful line that is in this song we've just sung, Silent Night. Father, we thank you for this time together. But most of all, we thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus. And that's what we celebrate tonight, and all the promise that Christmas brings. And so we pray in his name. Amen. Why don't you grab your seat? Good evening. It is so good to be with you. My name's Peter Scott. I serve here as a senior pastor. Love to catch up with you after the service if you want to stick around. Have you seen the signs of Christmas? I was in the shops the other day and I noticed tinsel. And I think tinsel's a sign of Christmas. There's gold, there's green and there's red. And I've realised that as soon as I start seeing that in the shops, Christmas is coming. Now, there's another sign that I've seen, and you can see that up on the screen. We live in an amazing neighbourhood for houses with beautiful lights. I don't know if you've driven around recently. You probably have, like our family, and we have a trouble just going straight home because we sort of see these lights on houses and we sort of make these detours. That's the promise that Christmas is here. Or what about Christmas tree? Anyone got a Christmas tree up at home? Yeah, a few of you. We've got a Christmas tree up in the foyer here. We've had one for a couple of months. We've got a Christmas tree at home as well. They're all the signs, aren't they, that Christmas is coming. The promise that Christmas is just around the corner. Now, 2,000 years ago, the people of God also knew that there was this promise that Christmas was coming. Now, they might not have called it Christmas, but they had these signs that had been promised them that a saviour was coming. The birth of a saviour. And these signs had come through some guys called prophets. There was a guy called Isaiah, and he said, because the Lord told him that a child would be born, a son would be given, and his name would be called Wonderful, Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There's this prophecy that this child would be born. And then to a guy called Micah, there was a promise or a sign that he would actually be born in a particular place. Micah, or God said this to Micah, "You, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah," so Bethlehem's a little town, "from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people." And so these were the signs that they were waiting for. And we know, of course, what happened. We know that Jesus came. And we know that, well, he was born in a manger, wasn't he? Now, we've got a few kids here tonight. So kids, maybe you can help me. And if you can't, the adults will. But when you picture the manger, when you picture baby Jesus, who was there with baby Jesus? Or who came to visit? Just yell out anyone you think might have been there. Mary, good start. That's excellent. Pretty sure Mary was there. Who else might have been there at the sort of... Joseph? Yes. Mum and Dad, they were there. Who else? Some shepherds? Yes. Some wise men might have visited. Anyone else? Angels might have been there. What about any... donkeys, cows, a whole menagerie, right? I mean, thank you, kids. That was awesome. Thank you very much for that. So we've got this picture, don't we? That there's this sort of cacophony of noise and cows and horses and, well, no one said horses, donkeys, Joseph and Mary sitting there. I don't know if this will blow your mind, though. As I've been looking at this, I thought, gee, this is really interesting. Did you know, though, that of the four accounts that we have of Jesus, so there are four accounts in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, they all wrote the story of Jesus. Two of them don't start with the birth of Jesus. Now, to prove it to you, I'm actually going to read from Mark. I'm going to read from the Gospel of Mark. Now, if you're someone who has a Bible, you're very free to read along. It's always good to read along. We're looking at Mark chapter 1, verse 1. So the very beginning of the book of Mark. And here's what he says. He says, this is the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight the path for him." And so John the Baptist, this guy, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And a few verses later, Mark goes on and he says, "At that time, Jesus from Nazareth was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And Mark then goes on to say that Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." That's how Mark begins. That's how Mark begins his story about all of the things that happened in Jesus' life. Where's the baby? No donkeys, no cows, no baby. What's going on? And Mark doesn't begin there. Instead, he seems to focus on Jesus being the fulfillment of the idea that Christmas was promised, but also bringing all of the promises that would come with Christmas. Now, to try and understand this, I want to invite you to step into the sandals of a local shopkeeper in the little town of Bethlehem. And last night, Jesus was born, and this shopkeeper, us, we wake up, and we go up to our friend, the innkeeper, the guy who keeps the inn up the road, and we say, "Mate, I didn't sleep very well last night. There seemed to be a terrible kerfuffle, a whole big group of reprobates wandering around, probably shepherds. They were really rowdy. They came in noisy and they left singing at the top of their lungs. What is going on?" And the innkeeper says, "Well, mate, the Saviour was born last night. This little baby, a couple of travellers came in, had a baby, and that's the Saviour. And those were shepherds. They came in, they were told by the angels, that is the one we've been waiting for." Now, if you have the sandals of the shopkeeper on, I imagine you might be a little bit sceptical. You might say, "Really? This baby here? This is the promised one? I think I need a bunch more proof that this admittedly beautiful baby is the Saviour." And I think that's why Mark starts where he starts. His intention is to show that actually Jesus did live out the promises that the Saviour of the world would live out. Now, Mark also quotes from some of the prophecies, some of the signs that this Saviour would come. But rather than starting with Jesus as a baby, he looks at the signs of what Jesus would do when he grew up. And he writes this account of Jesus starting with his public ministry, which was baptism by John. And he writes this account of the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus to give proof that this person was indeed the Son of God, the promised one to come. That the life, death and resurrection of Jesus show that he's the Son of God. And so what Mark does for us is he says, look, the promise of Christmas is really only fully understood through the lens of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, through the lens of the cross. And so I think if I had been that shopkeeper we talked about earlier, I would have been pretty sceptical right at the start. But 30-something years later, perhaps I'd been in a crowd where Jesus had taught. This baby had grown up and now was teaching. Or perhaps I'd been in a place and witnessed an incredible miracle. And I'd probably heard accounts from friends, from people that I knew and trusted about this person, Jesus. And all of that put together, I would then start to say, that night, that was indeed the beginning of the story of salvation. That was, as Mark says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That was the night of the promise of Christmas. And I think that's what we're invited to take away into our Christmas. The idea that the arrival of Jesus did bring great promise to the world, but most specifically that the promise he brought was of salvation and new life. And what do I mean when I say those things? Salvation meaning a freedom from the tyranny of guilt and shame that we might feel. That's one of the promises of Christmas that Jesus brought into our lives. And new life, well, the joy and peace and hope in the admittedly challenging life of following what Jesus asks us to follow. The promise of Christmas is freedom and life in Jesus. We celebrate its arrival tomorrow on Christmas Day. but we understand it through the lens of his life and his death and his resurrection. And here's the wonderful beauty of it. When we think about the promise being fulfilled in Jesus' arrival, it gives us great confidence and certainty that all the things that are promised through Christmas, promised to you and to me, those promises are available and they're true. So I want to pray together. Pray together for each of us this Christmas that we will grasp the promise of Christmas more than just that a baby came, but so much more, the promises that baby came to fulfill for you and I. Let's pray. Father God, all glory and praise to you this night as we celebrate the coming of the promised one, the coming of Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness in sending your son to us and for us. And thank you for the promise ushered in by Jesus, the promises fulfilled through his birth, his life and his resurrection, and the promises available to us now. And Father, this Christmas, I want to pray for us. Pray for each one of us, and particularly those of us who need and want to lay hold of the promise of Christmas. That like the fictional shopkeeper we've just talked about, like the people to whom Mark wrote, that we would hear and understand this account of Jesus, knowing that he offers peace and joy and hope, and that the promise of Christmas is for each one of us. Again, Father, all glory, honour and praise to you. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Hey, on behalf of Carey, can I wish you a wonderfully joyful and Jesusful Christmas. God bless you.